inside too. There is also a referral to the voters of a proposed limit on oil and gas extraction taxes of 6% of the market value. Do you know what the issues were behind that?
Say that again.
There was legislation which referred to the voters a proposed limit on oil and gas extraction taxes of 6% of market value. It seems like a rather complex issue to send to the people. I didn't hear about it in the election.
I can't remember that exactly. I can vaguely remember, but that's the best I can tell you. I think that oftentimes people forget the cost of exporting for gas and oil, mm-hmm. and they think about how much it's coming out of the ground and you're selling it, not thinking about how much you have to recoup, or at least an incentive to go look for some more. There's been only one discovery, and it was in Mist, Oregon. Oregon is not a good place for gas and oil. It just happens to be our geology. But I can't remember that exactly. Certainly that didn't become a law, even if the people voted on it. I think if it failed.
There was a ban on shutoffs of heat and electricity to residences in the winter months. I don't know if there was a provision specifically for certain types of people, but was there much opposition to that? Or do you know if you prefer just to elderly and sick or anyone?
Elderly and people with children and that sort of thing. Hard cases, again, bringing up the law, whether it's good or bad in this case. Again, you're meddling with the market out there. It would seem to me that it would be good public relations for companies to not shut it off. And yet, if that were a policy, then a lot of people know that they can do it and won't get charged for it. That gets back to what I said. You're going through a litany of things. I think I told you early on that Oregon seems to live perfectly well for 18 months, and then the legislature comes in session, and everything's wrong with the state.
Well, looking at a few things that that were not passed, there was a referral to the voters of a proposed ban on construction of nuclear power plants, and I know we've talked about this before. But that was not passed, and so the legislature actually, I had thought that the sentiment in the legislature was not in favor of nuclear energy.
Well, I think basically it was, and yet you don't know what the future holds, and that we shouldn't close out a source of potential energy.
One issue that came up quite a bit, off and on over the years, was, and I'm sure we've talked about this, a requirement that all school districts provide kindergartens. This failed. I believe Betty Roberts actually had been active in that in the late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah.
How did you feel about that?
I get back to local control. If the people are willing to pay for it, then I certainly believe, and I would incidentally lobby for in my school district, kindergartens. But that was not for a decision for the legislature to make.
There's also regulation and notification of shipment of radioactive materials that was not passed. Was that something that was there a problem with notifying?
No, there was a perceived problem, but there was no transportation of the. Now we're talking about high level nuclear waste.
Right.
There's no transportation of high level nuclear waste. You know, we're still trying to find a place to put it. Stuff. We went through the whole matter of transportation, storage, and the safety of nuclear power plants during the discussion on the moratorium on nuclear power plants.
There was a requirement also failing that all motor vehicle passengers wear seat belts. Of course, that became an issue later on too, and there was a measure that was passed.
Yeah.
How did you feel about that in general? Because I don't think we've talked about that.
Strange, you know, I say to myself, why do we have to pass a law on that? You know, if you're really concerned about your children or yourself, buckle up. Why do you have to pass a law on that? It goes way back. We did talk about it when Mark Hatfield had this property tax exemption for fallout shelters. And I'm saying to myself, why, you know, they're going to build it if you give them a property tax relief, and they won't if you, is that why they're building it, for property tax relief? They should be building it because they're concerned about a nuclear war or someplace to hide out. So you wonder about it. Yeah, we do have to pass laws on it, and then people will function in that fact. You hate to see it happen, but you keep wondering. The real motive is to save yourself and to save your children. Mm-hmm. That's the important thing. Which leads me to something else, which I think is very funny. These things happen. There's constantly, during the time I was governor, you know, the pressure to increase the speed from 55.
Right. And you were always against that.
I was always against it. And I got this letter. You really, it's marvelous to see how people think. It really is. It's just marvelous to see how people think. Very serious. This guy was not trying to be funny. He said that at the speeds that they are now, if there's a collision, someone is likely to get injured seriously and for life, and that the state is likely to be responsible for that person for the rest of their life. However, at 65, you're going to go crashing through the windshield and you get killed. And that he was serious about it. That was his reason for increasing the
so
speed.
So it's better to...
It's better to kill him.
Yeah.
Than to... necessarily.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people would rather be dead than maimed, but...
Well, I know that's true, but it was, you know, I'm reading this letter, you know, and I'm saying, now there's a different there's a different view on the subject of 65.
You know, there was an extension failed of the lobby disclosure laws to persons who appear before rulemaking agencies, and I didn't. There wasn't any more information on that than that that I could find. Do you recall?
I recall not maybe that specifically, but there's been discussion about that all the time, and not only that, but when the state agency itself lobbies against before another rulemaking body, and so this comes down to, we don't trust these folks, and we're going to have to pass a law to regulate them. And
is this identifying who they represent?
Well, they always do that anyway. Actually, the lobby in Oregon is controlled strongly by the what they call Capital Club. That's the club of lobbyists, and really, they do a better supervision job on lobbyists than anybody else that we could do, or the legislature could do.
There was a failure to provide a prohibition on abortions for minors unless a doctor received a written proof that the parents or guardians knew the abortion request. I'm not sure if we've talked about abortion as an issue or not, but
where
did you stand on that?
My position is one that's not pleasing to either side. Mm-hmm. I do not believe in unrestricted abortion. I remember very, very specifically the bill that sprung the door open for abortions in Oregon. Can't recall the year just now, but anyway, I was in the legislature, I was in the Senate. And in the law at that time is that legally you could have an abortion if it affected the health of the mother, physical health of the mother. One word was added, mental health. Uh-huh. And that is the one that sprung the door open. The following session, we asked for a report. A doctor came up from Eugene with some great degree of pride, was saying that he'd performed 300 abortions. I was offended by that. So, I don't believe in unrestricted abortion. However, as a governor, I did fund abortions and welfare. And my theory was that it's the law in Oregon. You know, you can do it legally. It's not a law that I like, but the fact is it's the law. And so why should just those who can afford it get it, and those who can't cannot? So that's my position. I don't, you know, the one thing I don't do is apologize for it. That's who I am. I know the position, and it's, as I say, it's not pleasing to either side. Mm-hmm. That just happens to be where I come down. Mm-hmm. If I were to vote on the bill that you just talked about, I would have voted yes about the child having to get the parents' consent for abortion.
Mm-hmm. There was an attempt to refer to the voters a proposal to repeal the death penalty that voters enacted in November, and of course that did not go through. Did you actively get behind that referral?
I supported the measure when it was on the ballot. Mm-hmm. It was on the ballot at the time I was running for office and did pass that year. That 1978. And I did it because I thought it was a very good law. First of all, I said and believe it's not that I want to take the life of anyone. Mm-hmm. It's that I want to prevent the life of anyone being taken. So I'm on the side and do believe that there is a deterrent to the crime of murder by the presence of capital punishment. It's never a statistic you can ever get. No one's going to say, I would have murdered you, except it's against the, I had a chance of getting executed. You can't get that statistic. But I still believe it's possible. So it's a matter of not taking a life, but saving a life. In addition, this bill said it had to be aggravated murder. The jury, and they described what aggravated murder was, mm-hmm. and the jury had to be convinced that this person would likely to commit that crime again, mm-hmm. and that it was an automatic referral to the Supreme Court. Now, that's a pretty small sieve to go through. I made up my mind early on and told publicly at the media when talking about it that if it ever came to that point, which I never believed it would, not in my term as governor, but I made it clear that if it ever came to that point, I would not be pardoning. Because if it goes through all of that, it was aggravated, they had to determine it was likely to happen again, and there was an automatic review by the Supreme Court, and it passed all those tests. That's as far as it should go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I made it clear. Now, the law was declared unconstitutional. I've forgotten for what reason. And then was submitted again and repassed in its improved mm-hmm. form. And that's the one we operate under today.
At the same time, the legislature failed to pass a bill which would allow for the administration of capital punishment by injection of drugs rather than a gas chamber, which the state didn't have. Why was that? What was the feeling against the injection of drugs?
I don't know. I can't remember that. I'm supportive of drug injection. Mm-hmm. I support that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know why in this case.
So now the only options for the state are what?
No, I think now.
Now they have it.
Yeah, injection. I think that's the way it goes, is injection. I don't think there's a matter of choice.
Didn't the issue just come up recently with the sentencing of, or the execution of Dodds, Gary Dodds, in
could
Vancouver,
have. Could.
Or from Vancouver?
Yeah. Could. Well, they have a different law up there.
Right.
And you have a choice.
Right.
And he took the hanging choice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was a failure to have a ban on discrimination in state hiring practices against homosexuals. Where do you come down on that? Because I know this comes up later, and we'll probably talk about it on this more recent Measure 9 that you were active in.
Well, this wouldn't be bad as a background, because my position in 9 is what might appear to be at variance, what I'm going to tell you. Mm-hmm. Let me go back now. Take one step, then I'll explain to you where I stand on it. Before I left office and after I was elected, I had gotten word that Bob Straub was going to write an executive order in regard to discrimination on homosexuals. I sent the message back to him. I didn't have a direct communication with him on this subject. He's governor, he can do whatever he wants. I respect that because he's still governor. However, I did let him know that as soon as I was sworn in, I was going to avoid that executive order. I thought a lot about it. And I think we can talk about it now because it was a different reason why I was opposing ballot 9. But as I told you earlier, that I try to think about things that I know are going to be coming up and to become of some consequence. And so before the heat builds up, I'm going to think about it and see where I... So I thought about this particularly. And then I said to myself, well, now, why should we be writing any special laws on sexual preference? Why should we be doing that? That's, to me, it boiled down to sexual preference. And why should we be doing that? If we do that, then there's why wouldn't we be passing laws as to how you do it? Makes as much sense to me. So basically, I just came down to that I didn't know why we should do that. I had a long discourse several times recently, meaning a few months ago, and I still have not yet had a good answer. I'm still curious about it. Recently, a friend of mine in New York, and they wanted to write a statement about homosexuals, and wanted me to be supportive of that statement. And there was a couple of paragraphs, and I said, I don't have any problem with the first paragraph, but the second paragraph I want to think about. But then I said to him, because he's a very intelligent man, he's written books, and Andy Tobias, his name is. Why did he feel compelled to tell me? I am not anxious to know. Now, I've asked that question several times. But I thought, well, now I'm going to get something from Andy because he's a pretty thoughtful guy. I still didn't get a satisfactory answer, satisfactory to me, because I don't need to know. Nobody has to tell me about it. So why do they have to tell me about it? That's the thing I don't. Why do they have to say? You know,
why do homosexuals have to say that they're homosexual?
Yeah. Why do they have to tell me that? I don't need to know. I have no strong desire to know. I don't really care.
But in this case, isn't it a situation where? Where homosexuals are afraid that they would be found out and therefore discriminated against once that happens, or at least in some of those cases.
Well, but you know, this may sound a little crude, but I remember a saying one time that it's better to remain silent and be thought stupid than it is to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Maybe that's not a good remedy, but you know, the fact that somebody may think so. Still, even most people, 96%, are at least good enough to say, well, I think so, but you know, I don't know that, and I'm not going to make a presumption beyond that point. There'll be a few really rednecks, but they're not a major number. You know, to me, it's personal. No more would want to tell people how many times or how or you know to me it's a personal thing. They don't need to know. I don't even tell my closest friend, my dearest closest friend, nor does he tell me. But we don't get into the conversation. But the point is that this is very personal. So why tell me? And then to get up and pronounce that I'm gay or. I'm a lesbian. Why tell me that? I don't need to know.
Isn't part of the issue that they believe it's not a matter of preference, but a matter of orientation, that's the way they are, regardless of what they would want otherwise. And therefore, since they didn't have anything to do about it, there's nothing that they should be ashamed about, and making it.
I would buy that 100%. Mm-hmm. Just don't tell me. But there's an attitude out there that, when you get to the OCA types, you know, this is really against God and the Bible and everything else. I mean, they get quite uptight about the whole thing. I can live without knowing. I pointed someone, at least once someone, that I was quite sure was a lesbian. I didn't ask, she didn't tell me. Did a great job. I have no problems. They're a human being like I am. They have a preference, it's a sexual preference. That's okay. That's their thing, it's not my thing. Mm-hmm. But just don't tell me. That's the thing that still buzzes around in my head. Why do they have to tell me? Why do I have to be told? They use the word coming out of the closet. Why? Why do that? It doesn't certainly help them. It's clearly, it doesn't help them at all to do that. And then they get, having done so, they get very righteous about it, and then they have parades, and that's even another thing. I don't think that a lot of these people that go out in parades that represent homosexuals. And yet, that's what the public sees.
Right.
These weirdos out there, and they say, "Ha ha! See, look, I'm telling you, they're," and they don't help a bit. Well, anyway, just a little kind of a long discussion. When we get to Battle 9, we're talking about, and we'll get to that.
Okay.
But now we're in a different atmosphere altogether. But I think I needed to. We got through abortions pretty well. A little longer on homosexuals. And I still want to know someday why the need to tell me. I think that we'd be better off for them and for me if they didn't tell me, for both. That's my opinion. Somebody that's involved would have to think it through. I was really kind of hoping that Andy Tobias would really kind of turn the light on for me, because I was, you know, I respect his intelligence and obviously.